You know, that's the only thing I couldn't deal with in that movie. Like, everything else, I'm like, this is okay. And then when Han Solo starts talking Wookiee styles.
I think they would have, got him a dialect coach or something. Right. It's probably one of the worst accents I've ever heard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's what Chewbacca should have said. Like, that's insulting, bro. Welcome to the Rebel Rundown, episode 8. How you doing, Steph?
Doing well. How are you, Pete?
I'm doing all right. I feel like I've been wanting to talk about this movie for a hot minute, and we haven't gotten to it yet, so I'm kind of excited to get into Solo. One of, the latest standalone movie, obviously, of the Star Wars universe, and possibly the last standalone movie for a while.
Yeah.
Based on some of the news that we've been hearing. So before we jump into that, though, I want to talk about, what did you think about Solo as a movie altogether?
Altogether, overall? I liked it. I don't think it was the best Star Wars movie ever. I certainly don't think it was the worst. We didn't really need this backstory, but I think it's cute and it was fun, and it, I kind of don't even think of it as backstory so much as just like a side adventure. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Tales of Star Wars.
Yeah, Tales of Han Solo. I don't know. It was kind of felt like a spinoff more than just like a backstory, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think for me, I love having bonus Star Wars. Everyone has so many different opinions right now. This ruined Star Wars, that ruined Star Wars. It's a TV show would ruin Star Wars, cartoons ruin Star Wars. Everything ruins Star Wars, and yet we all kind of show up for it. I think it's just, how we are. I remember growing up, and when Return of the Jedi left theaters, that was all of the Star Wars. Like, Star Wars was done for the better part of 12 years.
Yeah.
And that was it. Like, as far as we knew, it wasn't really coming back. Everyone always said, oh, he's going to do the prequels. We're like, no, he's not. It's all over. So I still have that little part of me that's like, Star Wars, any Star Wars is good Star Wars. And there are movies that I love more than others. There's movies that that are harder to watch. But most of them still bring me some element of that fandom that I remember as a kid. And that's really enough for me. So Solo, I was absolutely here for. And there were things that I was like, I'm not really with you on this. Mm-hmm. But it was really fun. And I thought the characters were a lot of fun. I thought, especially Lando, it was just playing in this universe and having a lot of fun with it. The Falcon, being a full-fledged character, really, in this mm-hmm. movie. It was just a lot of fun.
Yeah, I felt so, too. I left the film feeling like I had a good time, Mm-hmm. Didn't have a lot of the questions that I had leaving Last Jedi or The Force mm-hmm. Awakens. Didn't have a lot of that sense of awe. But I had just a really good time, yeah. I don't know. I feel like it kind of fits Han Solo's character, right? He's a good time guy.
Mm-hmm. And yet when people are talking, people are discussing Solo like it was, this monumental flop. And I get it. It didn't make the money back that it was... that I think that they were expecting, but then how could you be expecting that? That's my first frustration. My frustration when it comes to Solo isn't really how Solo was made. There were things that I would have, liked to have done differently, obviously, with every movie. But the thing is The Force Awakens, Rogue One, The Last Jedi, 1, 2, 3. You know what we had? We had Christmas movies, Steph. And that was awesome for me. Because I, having no kids of my own, one of the most fun things to do is go home for Christmas, visit my family, scoop up my niece and nephew, and drive them out and, shove, popcorn, candy, and soda into them. And we, all hang out and, watch Star Wars and then talk about it endlessly because my relatives are as nerdy as me. I mean, that's one of the most fun things. And you have this movie that, first of all, had this all kinds of director drama. And most of the photography had been done before Ron Howard even takes over. So what, ultimately is he responsible for, and how much of that movie was he able to fix? How much of that movie was just fine and didn't need his involvement? Well, I don't think we'll ever know, really. And it wasn't released in any time that really made sense for me for a Star Wars movie. Star Wars movies, I always remember them growing up, and the prequels as being summer blockbusters. You know, they're launched, right there, as close to May 4th as possible. The prequels certainly were. And then that changed when The Force Awakens came out and then became a Christmas movie. Solo was released, on either end of of two big Marvel movies, and it was released like in the middle of the spring.
Yeah, it was a really weird time.
That's like when the Oscar movies come out.
It's like after when Oscar movies come out. Oscar right. movies have to come out like in like March, right? Or February? Mm-hmm. No, they should come out in February. So this is a weird time. This is like the slump. You have your Oscars are over. Mm-hmm. The summer hasn't started yet. This is like your spring boiler break. This is like when Ryan Reynolds movies that aren't Deadpool usually come out.
Oh.
or Deadpool even actually right. come out. So yeah.
it's true. And the marketing was interesting to me because there was like just things that I had never seen Star Wars marketed through, like IHOP.
Oh yeah.
Like come strange. Get your Star Wars pancakes. No, we don't go to IHOP for any reason.
I'm sorry, you mean IHOB.
IHOB. Oh. So that's it's so weird to me that you know you can look at this movie and say, well, oh, standalone movies are garbage, and we need to put the brakes on.
Yeah.
When it was almost like you did everything you possibly could to ensure that your Star Wars spinoff movie or prequel movie or whatever your standalone would not succeed.
Yeah, absolutely. I hope they do go forward with some more spinoffs or sequels, prequels, whatever you want to call them, because like you said, you know. Star Wars movies are like pizza. Even when they're not great, you're still happy that you have them, mm-hmm. you know? So I think it would be premature for them to decide based on purely on the strength of Solo alone that they should not go further with any of these. But all the news coming out of Lucasfilms is that they are putting the other planned prequels, spinoffs, whatever you call them, mm-hmm. On hold, and they are going to be focusing solely on the next trilogies.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about Solo after Solo.
Okay.
Solo after Solo, Han Solo after the movie Solo.
Got it.
We have, I think, in a lot of ways, I don't know if you would agree, I felt like in a lot of ways Solo was pretty true to the character, to Han as a character. I mean, he's obviously not the grizzled, you know, cranky, cynical jackass that we meet in A New Hope, mm-hmm. but I think that's kind of the fun part, is there are still elements of that. Like, I was thinking, you know, when we see young Han Solo, you know, flying and being really excited, like, I have a good feeling about this, like, you know, one, it's kind of fun and clever.
That was really cute. I like that a lot.
And then also, like, it reminds me of, you know, when he, like, shows up at the end of, you know, A New Hope and, like, you know, saves Luke and has to blow up, you know, when they're he's blowing up the Death Star. He's like, yahoo! And like, you know, there's always been like these two elements of Han Solo where he's cranky, but he also like really loves
flying.
Yeah, and he loves being like in like these terrible situations. Mm-hmm. Like Han Solo thrives when he's up against the wall, and I think this movie showed that a great deal.
Yeah, definitely did. I think some people were complaining that he was too kind of idealistic or just, you know, young, but he is young, Han Solo. So one of the questions I had when I first saw the film was, or one of the things I had to resolve in my own mind was, when exactly does this take place in mm-hmm. the storyline? And I think we had agreed it was
like 12 years?
About 12 years before New Hope, right? So how old do we think Han is in this case? So
I want to say mid-20s.
Yeah, because he's about like 20-ish, right? When he leaves...
Corellia?
Corellia, yes, thank you.
You're my planet person, Steph.
I know, I've let you down. So he's about 20-ish when he leaves Corellia, right? And then he's got about 3 years, 3 to 4 years until we see him again when he meets Kira, because we know they've been apart for 3 years at least. So he's probably about 23-ish. And so we figure he's about 35 when we meet him in New Hope, right? Yes, so that's about right. So 12 years. So I think a lot can happen in 12 years. And I think that in Han's story, a lot probably has happened or did happen. If we look at where he left off at the end of Solo and where he is when we pick up at New Hope, is it the exact same person? No, it's not. And some people were complaining about that. Like, oh, he's not, you know, he's too heart of gold and not grizzly enough.
Right.
But you still got 12 more years of heartache, of adventure, of whatever else to get there. So I think he's definitely in the right direction. We see the trajectory happening.
That does bring up a good point for me, because do you feel like Han Solo is kind of, you know, too much of a scoundrel with a heart of gold in Solo? And if so, are we gonna? Is that supposed to be resolved later? Because it did feel like this is a Solo project. This is a movie about this character, and he's still a good guy.
Yeah.
But when we meet him in A New Hope, we don't really know.
Yeah.
He's kind of all over the place, and he's definitely more of a scoundrel.
Mm-hmm.
At least he identifies himself as a scoundrel. He thinks of himself as a scoundrel.
Mm-hmm.
So he definitely thinks of himself as a scoundrel. So it's weird to me to see this sort of like, you know, this sympathetic, you know, character wanting to help people out, mm-hmm. and everything. And at the end of that, do you feel like they had to do that to make Solo more sympathetic, or do you think we're going to get there eventually?
I think we're going to get there. So I, and a lot of other people who saw the movie, came away from it feeling like this is a setup for a sequel. At least a sequel, if not another trilogy, of Han Solo. And I, for one, think there's so much story to be told, because in every movie, right, this is like the kind of the James Bond effect, right? How does James Bond get from being young and idealistic and going to save the world to being a womanizer who is a loner, you know, whatever. And so I think it comes down to a woman. And we've seen his heart start to break with Kira. But I felt like at the end of Solo, he still feels like there's a chance at redemption. They're going to save the world together, kind of, or at least go off together and be happy. So I think there's more story to be told with him and Kira. Certainly felt that way, right? Mm-hmm. Why would they have brought back Darth Maul if they weren't planning on going somewhere with this?
Right.
Right? I think the writers definitely had something more in store. And that the fact that Solo didn't knock it out of the park makes me think that maybe they're putting those plans on hold. And I think that would be a mistake.
Yeah, I think so too. Like, I want to see where he goes from there. I mean, in no small part because I want to see more of Kira. And I think if we commit to her as a villain and let her be, you know, yes, they started off this way. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a really common theme in movies. We have like two friends, Professor Xavier and Magneto.
Yeah.
You have this opportunity.
Bucky and Captain America.
Bucky and Captain America. Captain America and Tony Stark.
Oh, yeah.
So you have this opportunity to send them on very different paths and to put them and pit them against each other and not have this, you know, Solo looking for redemption, but Solo looking for revenge.
I don't know. Yeah, do you think he would ever take revenge against Kira?
I don't know. I mean,
I see him taking it out on everybody else but her.
Uh-huh. Very Casablanca,
then. Although I do think she's going to have to die. Like, let's be real about it. And I would love that. I mean, we talked earlier in an earlier podcast about female villains. I think she would be an amazing villain because, one, we kind of knew her back when, right? Mm-hmm. So we get to see the backstory, and we get to kind of go through this film liking her. She's a sympathetic character, and we like her right up until the end, until she betrays him. And even then, like, I think I was still hoping, like, she's got to still love him, right? But to see a female character who's going to set aside and say, yes, I love him, but I got to look out for me. Right. Love's not enough, right? I think that would be really cool. And I think she would be a really complex, neat villain to have. Then we get to see her crush our hero's heart, leading us up to the Han Solo that we know, you know, 12 years from now.
I think it would be a kind of a disposable thought to say that, you know, she just becomes this ruthless, terrible character.
Yeah.
She does, but I think that's kind of the cool thing about it is now that we've seen that backstory, like you said, seeing her in another movie where she's more ruthless, where she's more, you know, more cunning and more ambitious, you know that she's sort of cutting away the parts of her that would prevent her, that are the sentimental parts that, you know, like she already did in the first movie, that would prevent her, you know, from you know, fulfilling her ambitions. And I think you rarely get to see a character do, a female character do that, especially. But I think it would be very true to that. Like, there is some pull to be good and to be sympathetic, and you could see maybe her like helping Han out, but then also opposing him.
Yeah.
But ultimately still like looking out for herself. I see elements of Kylo Ren in that, where it's like I'm pulled in two different directions, but I'm making a choice.
Yeah.
To be ambitious.
So I actually, when I think of her, the character that comes to mind, and this might just be because Harrison Ford is the connection between Han Solo and Indiana Jones, but is Dr. Elsa Schneider in The Last Crusade. Mm-hmm. You feel like Indy and she had a real connection, and you feel like she really did love Indy to some extent. She really cared about him, and she could see a life with him, but not as much as she loved the idea of the Grail and kind of winning. And
She wasn't going to sacrifice all of that
just to
hang out with
some
guy.
But if he wanted to come with her, like, that'd be cool, right? And so I kind of feel like that's where we're at with Kira. I feel like she has her sights set on being the boss. And if he wants to come with her, that would be great. Mm-hmm. And if he doesn't, then he becomes a liability. And now he's, you're not with me, you're against me kind of thing.
I think there's an element to her that's also smart enough. I think we saw this in Solo. An element of her who knows who Solo is. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of like, you're not bad enough to come with me. She knew that he was going to, you know, he was going to follow her anywhere. And I think there was an extent to which her betrayal was an act of mercy. Her leaving was a way of saying, like, I know you won't be able, eventually you won't be able to handle what we have to do together in order to like rise to power. And then maybe there's an element of her not wanting to share that power with anybody, especially or including.
Well, and I liked that they hinted at the things that she had done, because you think, like, how did she become this person that wants so much power, wants to be at the top, that she would give up everything else? And I think it comes from the things that she sacrificed, the things that she did. Like, it has to be worthwhile. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm like, I really wish we were getting more out of this fiction, because I was along for the ride. Like we said, there may be elements of the movie that weren't perfect, but that story was compelling enough that I want to follow it. And that's been a long time coming.
Yeah.
Even The Force Awakens, it's taken a lot of characters in The Force Awakens to get me to be like, okay, I'm attached to a handful of these stories, and I'll go with, you know, and The Last Jedi definitely... You know, it was similar in that I'm on board because this is the new trilogy and I like a lot of these characters. With Solo, it wasn't really him, and it really was, there, it wasn't a lot of things, but what it was the story.
Yeah.
I was willing to, like, I want to know more. And I think if you're going to do a side story of a character that we've already met, that's about as good as you can do.
Yeah. Well, and I was thinking about, too, like, if the writers were thinking about this as setting it up kind of as a trilogy, the first movie in a trilogy is always kind of like world-building, expository. The second one, now you're getting to the meat,
right.
You know, and the third one's kind of the resolution. So I think, like, give it a chance. Give us that second film, you know, and see where it goes from there.
Which reminds me, or it makes me think, you know, you have the two characters who I think are most central to Han Solo.
Mm-hmm.
You have Chewbacca, and you have Lando.
Uh-huh.
And I think, you know... we established who they were, you know, he beats them, obviously, in this movie. We establish who they are to him. I'm eager to see more of that.
Yeah, 100%. Because that's one thing that I think is definitely not the same, is if we meet Lando, and Han says, like, oh, I know a guy we can go see.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, do you trust him? And he goes, no, but the closest I'll get, right? An old friend, right?
Right.
He calls him an old friend. So I think from just having won the Falcon from him, and then 12 years later, you wouldn't be like, oh, I know the guy. It's,
right.
You know, old Lando. Like, there's got to be so many more adventures with, like, Lando and Han being, like, friends, but also kind of, like, a little bit of rivals, I think, is a good way to say it. So I want to see that play out. I want to see the hijinks. I want to see them coming together. You know, I wouldn't go so far as to say frenemies, because I think they really do like each other. But I just want to see that storyline play out, because we're definitely not there yet.
Right. Both in this movie and in The Empire Strikes Back, it's pretty clear. We have pretty delineated lines of, like, where Lando's motivations are, who he is as a person, and who Han Solo is as a person, and where his lines are.
You
so,
actually wrote a really great post about defending Lando.
Lando.
Yeah.
To me, he's the hero of The Empire Strikes Back, which I swear that's an entire podcast. All on its own. But I think you're right. I think a second movie, you could easily have, like, Lando with his own ship.
Mm-hmm.
Not the two of them on the Falcon.
No.
But, like, two of them, like, you know, basically teaming up for another adventure, but obviously having very different agendas.
Yeah.
Like, they work together, but they obviously can't do the same things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Lando has always got an agenda. He's a businessman. You know, that's how he ends up in Cloud City.
Yeah.
And with Han Solo, you know, he's fly by the seat of his pants and never stops. You know, at the end of The Force Awakens, there he is, like, trying to, you know, swindle. He's trying to swindle and talk his way out of things. He's never lost that element of him, and I think that's very different.
That's what I think. You actually bring up a great point. Is I think Lando wants to, his goal is to set roots, right, and to have a place that he can call home.
Mm-hmm.
And Han, on the other hand, he finds that in Leia, and then he leaves it again. Like, I think Han is a nomad. You know what I mean? He's just always going to be, you know.
Solo.
Yeah.
He's
a loner, Dottie. Real rebel. but yeah, and so I think that's the difference. Does Calrissian, does that mean, like, homesteader in some language? I don't know.
I don't know. Does everybody get their name, like, that way?
I don't know. That's funny.
I would like to know. There were a handful of things in Solo. I was like, did we have to?
Oh, yeah, him getting his name.
And then there were things where I was like, you know what? This is just fun. Like, the entire Oliver Twist beginning of Han Solo I thought was hilarious.
Yeah.
And also kind of worked.
Mm-hmm. What did you think about his relationship with Chewie and the way that they met?
I didn't like that at all.
No?
I think... You know, the fiction goes back as... I feel like it's almost like lore. Like, I don't actually remember it ever being something I read or that was written down. But for as long as I can remember, it was always, you know, Han Solo was, you know, at the academy, or Han Solo was a stormtrooper, or
pilot,
he was something in the Empire. And he freed Chewbacca because he was doing the right thing. And, And then Chewbacca, like, you know, pledged a life debt to Han.
Right.
And so this was, I think, as close to honoring that as possible. You know, yep. Sort of like honoring the final conflict between Anakin and Obi-Wan, you know, and Mustafar. This is definitely something I remember hearing about. This is definitely something
yeah,
I remember being the origin.
It felt
and so
true.
It felt like, okay, this, you. Yeah. I was like, thank you for including that and not completely changing yeah. that. But the way that it was done was just so silly. Like, again, Han Solo, boo. You know, every complaint
like
I ever had about how, you know, Rey can understand, you know, Chewbacca and can understand BB-8 and can understand everything else. I'm like, no, no, now it's now I have no complaints because Han Solo has taken it that far. He's, you know.
And terribly.
Yeah, again, like, I feel like Chewie has a case here.
I even think, like, the dumbed-down subtitles, like, him saying things.
Oh, it was worse.
It was so bad. Like,
me, friend, help you escape. Me, we lie to like, bad guys.
Solo turned into Tarzan.
He turned into, like, the Incredible Hulk.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Drunk.
Yeah, it was bad. It was a missed attempt at humor, I think. Could it have been played better? I don't really think so.
I think
so.
There's a million ways you could have done it. I think, you know, him not understanding. But Chewie's always been able to understand
Han. Yeah.
So all you need is that one-sided, dialogue where you can be like, you know, hey, I'm going to do this thing and you're going to help me out. And if not, you're going to be stuck here for the rest of your life. I think that was enough.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. Yeah. I do get what they were going for, though. Sometimes, like, for example, I remember going to Paris side note here. Mm-hmm. And I don't speak very much French, but I was at a hotel and in front of us in line were a couple who were American and they were trying to speak to the hotel concierge in English and she was in French saying, I don't speak English. So we went up there in a really crappy broken French, tried to ask for a room and she's like, oh, it's okay, you can speak English. And we were like, this lady speaks English. So I think it's the point is that the fact that he tried and that he, I mean, because it seemed like, and I don't know where, you know, the Wookiees fall into, like, the hierarchy of life in this galaxy. But it seemed like the Empire, at least, kind of looked at them as monsters and trash. And so maybe for him to say, like, oh, you took the time to get to know my language, even though you speak it very terribly, shows that you must not think like everybody else. It's not beneath you to learn to speak Kashyyyk or Wookiee or whatever you call it.
Do you think, speaking of Chewie, that moment... Do you think there was enough in Solo between that moment and the moment on Kessel where we feel like there's a reason that Chewie is stuck to Han like glue? Because it definitely, like, Chewie is definitely the sidekick. He definitely, like, we may never have the life debt explained or even brought up, but it definitely seems like that's it. Like, Chewie is always Han's right-hand guy. And the question, I guess, is did Solo set that up enough where you feel like Chewie owes him that, like, loyalty?
I think loyalty, yes. I don't know if it does truly to that extent. I think there's got to be more, like we said, in the hopefully future, you know, sequels. But for me, the moment that kind of stuck out was when they were on Kessel, and they had the rebellion was happening, and Chewie saw a couple other Wookiees there, and he wanted to go help them, and Han was like, no, come on, we got to go this way, this is the plan, and Chewie was like, whatever, you know, I'm not even going to try. And it was obvious that he wanted to go rescue his countrymen, or his, what do you call it if they're from the same planet?
His people.
his planet men. he wanted to go rescue the Wookiees. And so Han, like, he got it. He was like, you know what? Do what you got to do. If you're still here when we get back, awesome. You know, like, I'm going to go do my thing. And so I think that for Chewie, the biggest thing, and you have to kind of think about how he'd been treated up until now by humans, I guess. Han respected him. Han gave him agency. He didn't try to keep him like a pet. He didn't try to treat him like an animal. He treated him like an equal. And I think for Chewie, he probably hadn't experienced that before with non-Wookiees. So I think that right there kind of made him realize, like, Han is different and special. I don't really know why he didn't go with his Wookiees. I mean, we know that he can't go back to Kashyyyk because it's been overrun by the Empire, and there's a whole storyline in the extended universe of them trying to go free the planet. So I don't know if that was enough, but I think that for Chewie kind of cemented the friendship at the very least. I don't know. What do you
think? Maybe he thinks he looks... I can never really tell because there's an element of Chewie that's sort of like... You know, that is like a dog.
Yeah.
You know, like a sidekick. But then there's an element of Chewie who's like a protector and almost like a maternal
Big
or paternal
brother.
Figure. Like, you know, like this is the knucklehead I have to look after.
Yeah.
Otherwise, he's going to get himself killed.
I wonder if there's... Is there more story like Chewbacca? Does he not have a family? Maybe he doesn't have a family. And because Han doesn't have a family, they kind of have that. And that's the closest that they're getting to... to being kind of brothers.
I mean, there's the Star Wars Christmas special that, oh, you know, introduces. Yeah, I'm just saying. It's got like a wife and a kid or something. Nope, like lumpy and itchy and scratchy or something. I forget. But and then I think the final relationship that comes out of Solo is Han and the Millennium Falcon.
Mm, yeah.
And I enjoyed that. We had a whole podcast about L3 and her sort of integration into it. But I think the affection that Han has for the Falcon goes mm-hmm. beyond that. Like, it began before that, mm-hmm. Like this sort of connection to his father.
Yeah, absolutely. So he tells, who does he tell? I know, he tells, not Kira.
Somebody's.
He tells somebody, that his father, it's Lando, actually, I think, right? He tells Lando that his father built these Corellian light freighters back on Corellia. So he grew up around them, I think. And I think for a poor kid from, like, the slums of Corellia, whose dad was, like, a laborer, a hard laborer, mm-hmm. I think owning one of those light freighters and being, like, a merchant or whatever, that for him was, like, the pinnacle of success. That was mm-hmm. making it back on Corellia, right? I think he probably grew up playing around and inside similar spaceships, so he knew them. So I think when he walked onto the Millennium Falcon, he felt like, this is home, as close as home as it's going to get to me, because this is what I grew mm-hmm. up around, this reminds me of my family, my dad, and this is success. He finally owns his own ship, and he's super proud of it. Because even if you look at in the earlier films, going back to New Hope and the original trilogy, he even calls it like a hunk of junk. People right. are like, oh, this piece of crap. Like Luke calls it a hunk of junk. So we know that it's not the best looking. It's not the newest model. Mm-hmm. It's not the most up-to-date, coolest in the galaxy. But for him, like, that's his classic. That's right. his baby. Yeah, so he's a, I don't know.
That's his 65 Mustang or whatever.
Yeah, he's ride or die. Yeah.
That's his old beat up 80s Camaro.
Oh, yeah.
So changing directions, I guess, as we wrap this up, you know, the performances to me were fun.
Yeah.
You know, I especially love Donald Glover just chewing up scenery as Lando.
Yes, he was great.
I also thought, you know, obviously the new Chewbacca, what's his
name? Eunice Suotamo, who I may have a little crush on.
he was fun. Like, I think he very much understood how Peter Mayhew portrayed
yes.
Chewie, and that, like, energy that's sort of, like, strong and intimidating, and mm-hmm. then also light and joyful and kind.
Mm-hmm. And he actually did his own lines. Like, he learned the language. Note to Alden Ehrenreich for mm-hmm. no. And I liked Alden Ehrenreich actually as Han. Mm-hmm. I thought that he did a good job of playing him without trying to play Harrison Ford playing him. Do you know what I mean? Like, he really, I think, took the character, took some of the stuff that Harrison Ford did, but kind of made it his own. And I think it was 100% believable as a young Han Solo.
I think he definitely captured the spirit. I think there are definitely elements where I was like, I wish you sounded or looked more like it, because I would buy in just a little bit more.
Yeah.
But I think the energy was there.
Yeah. I think they look like.
The lines also were well written mm-hmm. to sort of match how Han talked, and the everything from the cadence to, you know, just the choice of words.
I do think he sounded more like Jack Nicholson than Harrison Ford.
I was thinking kind of like a not Jack Nicholson, but
Christian Slater.
Right. Yeah. So I was thinking a little less like Jack Nicholson and a little more like Christian Slater.
I could see that.
Like,
Like
when Christian Slater was young and trying to be Jack Nicholson.
Yeah, right.
You know.
I thought it was believable, and I think he really did a great job too of taking some little, like, characteristics or little mm-hmm. movements and kind of the way he walked, you know, and like his little I thought it did a really great job.
And kind of the dumb things that he did too. Like, those were kind of the more fun things. Like, because Han Solo was so dumb.
Sometimes.
And that was kind of the fun of it. Like, you know, he would charge at stormtroopers and be like, oh, shit!
Yep.
And then run back. And I think you saw some of those moments. So overall, I'm a little sad if there is nothing to follow this, because I think it wasn't the disaster that some people are saying it was. I think it met and exceeded my expectations, and I was really happy and surprised coming out of it.
Yeah.
And I think it would almost be a shame not to do more stories.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought it was a good, solid addition to the universe. Not 100% necessary, but definitely 100% enjoyable.
Right, well, thanks for joining me for the Rebel Rundown.
Thanks for having me. Always a pleasure to be here.
We are Pop Culture Uncovered. You can find us at PC Uncovered on Twitter and Instagram, popcultureuncovered.com, and popcultureuncovered.com. on your Facebook. There's a whole list of things now that I'm like, I wonder what Kara did. Like, what did Kara do?
Can we get a spinoff of just Kara? Like, you know.
Kara and Darth Maul hanging out?
See what she did for those first 3 years?
I feel like the original implication was like less cool things and more like
sexy.
Yeah. Who did you have to?
Yeah.
Which kind of took, you know, wasn't nearly as fun.
Yeah. You know. It's pretty actually sad.
Maybe she killed all those orphans.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Now
that's some ruthless Kira.
Younglings.
Right there.
No. That'd be terrible. Oh my god. She's the Anakin of Corellia.